find my notes here. We are in week 18 of our series on Revelation called Jesus Revealed. Let me remind you today that the point of the book of Revelation is not primarily to reveal the Antichrist, but to reveal Jesus Christ. It is not primarily to tell us of all the scary things that are going to happen, but about the hope of the people of God and their triumph over sin and death and evil. And it's not primarily a revelation of the anger and wrath of God, but a warning of danger and a call to turn and embrace the love of God who is ever pursuing human hearts. I have three, including today, three Sundays left before I go on my leave. And so we're going to make it. We're going to get to the end of the book. Today we're going to cover chapters 18 and 19. Next week, 17 and 18. Next week, 19 and 20. And then 21 and 22. On our 20th episode of Jesus Revealed. So, as we have been doing, we are going to read the full chapters of Revelation 17 and 18. Even though we've taken almost 6 months to go through the book of Revelation, it feels like we're racing through it because there's so much that we could talk about. So we're not obviously going to get into everything that we read, but as we said a few times, the book itself says in the first couple verses that there is a blessing for those who listen to it, who hear it read and take it in, and we want to receive that blessing. So we're reading every word of the book as we go. So Revelation 17, if you're following in your Bibles, 17 verse 1. Deep breath. Here we go. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast which you saw was once, now is not, and yet will come out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain only a little while. The beast, who once was, now is not, is an eighth king. He belongs to the seventh and is going to his destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God has put into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over the beast to the beast their royal authority until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every kind, for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as a queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand far off and cry, 'Woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep and horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe to you, the great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all that travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city?' They will throw dust on their heads with weeping and mourning and cry out, 'Woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became richer through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets, for God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you.' Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it in the sea and said, 'With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of a bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. The merchants were the world's important people. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. Yeah. So, today's message is entitled Death of the Gods. And we start with the subject of these two chapters is the prostitute Babylon. It's interesting here that although so at the beginning it talks about this angel that speaks to John and says, I'm going to show you the destruction of the great prostitute. It's interesting that even though we've seen many angels in Revelation, in the book of Revelation so far, and we've seen many supernatural beings, but this is the first reference in the letter to an angel actually speaking directly to John. Jesus had spoken to John, the elders around the throne have spoken to him, but this is the first angel that speaks directly to John and tells him that he will take him to see the destruction of the great prostitute. So then John has a vision of a woman. She's not the first woman that John has had a vision of as he has written out this book, this Revelation. If you remember in Revelation 12, he saw a woman who was giving birth and was being hunted and pursued by the dragon. That woman in Revelation 12 was a virtuous woman who gave birth to the Messiah. And we said that that woman represents Israel. And the woman is this woman that we encounter in today's passage is meant to be a shocking contrast to that woman. It's no coincidence that there are these two women talked about in the visions of John. She's a shocking contrast. And this woman is not running from the dragon, but she's riding on the beast. She's not virtuous, but she's an adulterous woman described as a prostitute, or depending on your translations, a whore, a harlot, all of those words, not nice words. The Greek word here is porneis. Of course, it's the word we get our word pornography from. So she is someone given over to sexual immorality. We find that this woman is called Mystery Babylon. And these two chapters are about the fall and judgment and destruction of Babylon. So that causes a lot of questions for us. Who is this woman? What does Babylon have to do with who she is? And why should we care? Right? So there are a couple keys that we need from the Old Testament to understand what's going on here. As we've said, the Old Testament, there's hundreds and hundreds of over 500 references from the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. And so this is a tying together of all of God's story in Scripture. But there are some keys that we need from the Old Testament to understand what's going on. Keys that John's original audience would have just understood. And so as we pull out these keys to help us, this passage may start to come in focus for us. So the first key is Babylon. What is Babylon? It is not, John is not writing about the literal, ancient, historic city of Babylon. Because by the time John is writing this, around 90 AD, there is no Babylonian Empire. The city of Babylon is in ruins. There is no mighty, powerful city called Babylon when John is writing this. So to understand what Babylon means, we have to look back to the place where Babylon is first introduced into Scripture. And it takes us right back to Genesis chapter 11 in the story of the Tower of Babel, or Babel. It's a strange story of a tower and God confusing people's language, but it's much more than that. Five chapters earlier, before the story of the Tower of Babel, some of the most powerful angelic beings called the sons of God rebelled against Yahweh, and their rebellion and their influence on humanity is exactly what caused the flood in Genesis chapter 6. And now in Genesis 11, the humans are building a tower that was an attempt to reconnect to those fallen angelic beings that they are now worshiping as gods. And they're trying to reconnect with these false gods in rebellion again against Yahweh. And they build these pyramid-like structures called ziggurats that have a temple on top. And the purpose of these structures, even from the ancient pagan writings, the purpose of these is to call the gods down from the heavens to meet with them. And so in that time, when God confused the language and spread the people out over the land, God was literally giving the nations over to the gods as punishment. If that's what you want, go. And then in the very next chapter, Genesis 12, God plucked out Abraham and said, I'm going to make for myself a nation that will be my people, that will live for me in covenant relationship. And through him, and through the nation that comes from him, I am going to one day redeem all the nations back to myself. An incredible, that's what the entire story of the Bible is about, right there. And that nation, of course, the descendants of Abraham, through them came Jesus Christ, Messiah King, who was son of Abraham and son of God. And so Babylon is Babel. And the rebellious gods of the nations and the systems of religion, of power, of wealth, of entertainment, and of everything that seeks to lead people away from allegiance to the true God. That is what is Babylon. Babylon represents these gods, but it also represents every empire and power that has been driven by these gods over the centuries and over the millennia, and that have persecuted the people of God throughout the ages. The woman is described in 17 verse 9 as sitting on seven hills. This is an obvious reference to the city of Rome, which is famously built on seven hills. And for John, in this moment of history, as he's writing this revelation, the city of Rome and the Roman Empire is the physical manifestation of this evil power that is persecuting God's people, that is pursuing these false gods, and that is living for wealth and power and everything else but God's purpose in the world. So Rome for John is Babylon for him refers to Rome and refers to those systems of power and systems of rebellion against God. But folks, Babylon is everywhere in every age and in every system and power that is in rebellion against God, including our systems today. And we see in Revelation two cities set up in contrast. We see Babylon and we see the New Jerusalem. We'll get to that on our last Sunday, our last message. But we see Babylon and the New Jerusalem set up as these two great cities in opposition and in contrast to each other. And you are either part of one or the other. And we'll come back to that. The second key that we need, so that's Babylon. The second key that we need to understand this passage is the woman. Who is this woman that we are encountering? The imagery of a faithful woman and an adulterous woman are used over and over in a number of places in the Old Testament. For those who are faithful to Yahweh, the true God, and those who embrace false gods. Those who are in covenant with Yahweh and live for Him, and those who have given themselves over to pretenders or to chasing everything else but God. And when God's covenant people in the Old Testament behaved like people who were worshipers of false gods, because that often happened, when God's people behaved like those who were worshiping false gods, they were described as cheating on Yahweh, being unfaithful to the covenant, the marriage covenant that they had with Yahweh. And so idolatry in the Old Testament is called spiritual adultery in the Bible. And even in the New Testament, we come across this. In the book of James chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says this: "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God?" So when it's talking about the world, it's not talking about people. It's talking again about the systems of rebellion against God, the systems of power, the systems of wealth, and so on. And because we know that in other places, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son," right? So God loved, he didn't love the systems, he didn't love the rebellion, he loved the people, right? But in this passage and in other passages, the world is used to talk about the systems of rebellion against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? When we stray from faithfulness with Jesus, he rightfully is jealous of our affection. Right? If I started going on dates with other women, I think Pam would be rightfully jealous, right? would not be good. No. Right? There is a petty jealousy, but there's also a righteous and right jealousy that guards and protects a covenant relationship. And God is jealous, folks, of your heart and my heart when we stray from Him. That's what this is saying, right? But He gives us more grace, thank God. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. When we stray from Him, if we are proud in our straying, we are in danger of bringing judgment upon ourselves. But if we are humble in our straying and come to Him, then there is grace. There's grace, right? Goes on to say, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Whenever we stray from Jesus, there is a path back to him. His love and mercy and grace are there for us when we humble ourselves and come to Him. Amen? The old gods of Babel, of Babylon, they have not gone anywhere. They weren't just myths and stories and figments of John's imagination and the writers of the Scriptures' imagination, but they are demonic powers that are still at work in the world today. They have not gone anywhere, not yet. They are the spiritual powers behind the world system, and when we blatantly choose sins of greed and hatred and drunkenness and sexual immorality, we are cheating on Jesus. And we need to take that seriously and be quick to humble ourselves and repent. It is appropriate, super appropriate, that this message falls on Baptism Sunday. Those of you who were baptized, didn't they do an awesome job sharing today? What a great job. Thank you. Those of you who were baptized today, you were choosing between Babylon and New Jerusalem. You were choosing between Jesus and the gods of this world. You were choosing between the woman of virtue and the prostitute. You were saying, I reject sin and all it stands for, and I will live my life in allegiance and obedience to Jesus, my King. So our keys have helped us to see that these chapters are about one final push by the rebellious gods and powers and all the humans who follow them to gain control, to overthrow God and His plans for the world. They have been at work throughout all of history. But after the coming of Jesus, we found this in Revelation chapter 12. After Jesus came into the world, it told us that the dragon, the devil, and his armies went out in fury because he knows that his time is short. The gods hate Yahweh, hate his people, and want to either destroy them or deceive them. And In chapter 17, verse starting in verse 11, we read this. The beast who once was, now is not, is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven, is going to his destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb. That's their one purpose. They will wage war against the Lamb. These systems, Babylon, that has been all through history in rebellion against God, will culminate. In the beast, the Antichrist, leading a powerful world government that will rebel against Jesus in a very real way. We're going to talk about that next week. Again, this week is like the 30,000 foot view, and then next week we dive into the actual war of the enemy against God. But listen to what it goes on to say here in chapter 17. They have one purpose. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. So through the Antichrist, the gods will make one final attempt to destroy God's people and usurp the authority of Jesus, but they will be soundly defeated. We're going to talk about, like I said, more about that next week. But this tells us the gods are overthrown. Babylon is fallen. That is the declaration. The powers and the rebellion and the system of this world that is a rebellion against God will be destroyed. It hasn't manifest yet, but their end is sealed, and so is our victory. Amen? And so we need to watch ourselves, that we don't fall into deception. The closest thing that we have seen in recent history to the fulfillment of this, and I don't know if you remember, remember Conspiracy Theory Sunday? How many of you were here for that? Come on, more of you were here for that than that. Conspiracy Theory Sunday, you just blocked it. And we talked about how the devil, the enemy, does not know the time of the end, right? Doesn't know the time of the end. And so in every age, in every generation, he's got someone he's trying to get in place to step into power that will be the beast. Right? And I would suggest in the 20th century, that was Adolf Hitler. Right? He saw himself as resurrecting the Roman Empire. He conquered more territory than the Roman Empire ever controlled. He had a vision of his Third Reich lasting 1,000 years. He hated the Jewish people and did everything he could to exterminate them from the earth. And he was able, this is the important piece, he was able to deceive a large portion of the German church to throw out the Bible and to teach Nazi propaganda in its place. Thank God a remnant movement called the Confessing Church held on to the truth of the gospel and stayed true to God. But the Bible talks about a great deception in the last days. And believe me, it has already begun. When the church begins to take on the values and the priorities of the culture around us, we have begun to fall into the trap. And we must watch our doctrine, we must watch our lives, and we must stay true to Jesus and Him alone. Babylon is fallen. And in chapter 18, verse 4, the angel declares, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon so that you do not take on her destruction and her plagues. Come out of her." How do we do that? How do we do that? Folks, as we live in Babylon, in exile, that's where we live. Do you understand that? We live in exile in Babylon. You do not belong in this world. The Bible says you are strangers and aliens who don't belong in this world. We are living in Babylon in exile. And as we live in this world as aliens and strangers, we must be people of the world, of the word, and people of the presence, and guard our hearts from the influence and the lies of the world. Amen? And we need to choose now to be faithful in our covenant with Jesus until the end, whatever that end may be. To be faithful in our covenant to Jesus, to not be counted among the spiritual adulterers. But to be those who are found faithful in the house of our God. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to pray for us today. I want to pray again, just over our the people who are baptized today, that God would strengthen them and help them to live faithful to the covenant that they have with Jesus. But I'm sure that that their baptism today is a reminder for all of us in this room who have been baptized, who have made that covenant with Jesus, sealed that covenant in baptism. Sadly, one of our baptizees asked me how many people I have baptized over the years. I don't know that number off the top of my head. At least 200 or 300, I'm sure. Sadly, there have been people that I have baptized that I have, in years following, watched drift away, fall away from their covenant with Jesus. May God seal in our hearts our love for Him, our faithfulness to Him, our desire to walk with Him in a world that is entirely antagonistic to you walking in victory in your faith. Not only do we have an enemy of our souls, but he has orchestrated a system in this world that is contrary to truth. May God give us strength to walk in faithfulness. So, Father, I thank you for every person in this room, every person watching online who loves you, who knows you, who walks with you. I pray that, God, today you would infuse us in a fresh way with a reminder of our covenant relationship with you. That we would guard our intimacy with you. We would guard our relationship with you. We would not stray. And if we do, that we would quickly come in humility and lay our lives before you once again. God, I pray for those who maybe are hearing this message and have not yet made that choice to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be faithful to him. I don't want to fall into deception. I don't want to fall into the destruction that is coming upon the world system and upon sin. But I want to trust in Christ for forgiveness and hope and freedom and healing and life. God, I pray that today you would speak to those individuals. That before they leave this room today or before they turn off their computer today, they would say yes to you. Confess their sin and ask you into their lives to be their Savior and King and Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Come and move in your kingdom, power, and authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that good word once again this morning. And thank God for his keeping power to keep us in every situation. Thank you for coming to Evangel. And if you would like special prayer today, we now open the altar for anyone who would like to come. There will be those who will be here at the front ready to pray for you, pray you through the victory. And thank God his ears are always open. And he's more than willing to pour on our lives whatever we need. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for having me. Have a great Sunday. God bless you.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurt and in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. Speak the name, cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven. I pray this for you. I pray for your healing. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that it breaks. What happened today? I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. Pray for your healing, circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival. Restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus.